Hello, and welcome to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. I'm your host, Laura Vogt, the Associate Director of Marketing and Communications in the College of Engineering. And this week, we're exploring the process of studying abroad. The interview has two parts, the first with Kendra Van Nijhuis, an ESS advisor, to go over the nuts and bolts of studying abroad, the requirements, how it's going to affect your studies and engineering as an engineering student, and more information along those lines. Then we're going to talk with Simon Gonzalez. He was part of a study abroad program last semester and is currently a mechanical engineering student. So first, hi, Kendra. Welcome to the podcast. Can you tell us about yourself and your role in Berkeley Engineering?
Hi. Yes, I'm Kendra Van Nijhuis. I'm an ESS advisor. I work with a portion of the EEC students as well as engineering physics and also material science and engineering students.
I wanted to start off with, what do you think are the benefits of studying abroad and why should our engineering students see if it's something they can add into their college experience?
Yeah, so I think studying abroad is a really important experience that students can have. It helps you expand your horizons. You get to go places you may never ever be able to go again, or it might be really hard to travel to again after you graduate. You get to take classes in different places with different cultures, different understandings. Traveling is a lot easier in different places abroad. Generally, just a really great thing if you can fit it into your plan. I really recommend doing it.
And is it really feasible for engineering students to fit a semester abroad into their study curriculum?
It is. I will say it is easier for some majors than others. Some take a little more planning, a little bit more kind of arranging to make sure you can fit it in. But if you're working on it early and you're thinking about it ahead of time, I think pretty much all majors have some place that you could stick a study abroad semester in there.
And it's available all three. You can do it in fall, spring, or summer, right?
Yes, yes. There are fall and spring programs with our partner universities. And then summer has global internship programs, summer abroad through Berkeley classes, and also summer study abroad programs.
And how does it affect a student's time to their degree?
So students are allowed an extra semester if they study abroad. So that's something when you're planning things out that you can talk with your advisor. I know that's not ideal for all students. So there is possibilities to kind of work things in, as we talked about with summer, or working things in where you're taking some classes while you're studying abroad so you can still make your time to degree if you want to do that.
And do the programs that they do have to be engineering centric?
No. In fact, a lot of my students will do programs that are strictly humanities or have a mostly humanities coursework within them. So it's not required that you do engineering courses when you're studying abroad. We sometimes recommend you do because we do think it is a good experience to get to learn more about how different countries and different programs are approaching these different engineering topics. But yes, you're allowed to take whatever you want as long as you're following the rules of that home institution, that institution you're studying abroad at in terms of what how many courses you have to take and what you have to do. We are fine with whatever you'd like for a study abroad semester.
And the classes that you take do transfer into Berkeley Engineering, correct?
Yeah, so the course that you take, if you're taking things through the UCEAP study abroad program here on campus, everything will transfer in for credit. If it's going to transfer in for major requirements, that's a different conversation. Every major has their own process for getting these things approved for the major requirements. Some are more strenuous than others because of like ABET accreditation and things like that. So the best thing to do when you're kind of planning, once you've narrowed down which programs you might want to do, especially if you want to do ones that have engineering in them, is to talk to your ESS advisor about what that process is. Sometimes it requires you to talk with faculty and get approval. Sometimes you have to go to departmental advising to get approval. If it's a course that's not in your major department, so you sometimes will have to go to like the physics department or the math department to get things approved. So it does take a little bit of legwork to get major requirements done when you're studying abroad, but it is definitely still possible. And if you did want to do that, you can go talking to study abroad advisors or peer advisors. They do have lists of programs that have engineering courses or that students have taken engineering courses and gotten them approved in the past. Some majors like civil and EECS also have pre-approved databases that your advisor can point you to of things that have been approved in the past that you can get checked over and possibly get approved for your future plans.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that they're able to like keep that information for people in the future. And do students need to know a foreign language if they're studying abroad?
No. In fact, a lot of the programs have English language coursework in them. Some do, if you did want to do a like foreign language course in engineering, there's something, an engineering course in a foreign language, put it that way, then the study abroad office has lists of those as well. But most of the programs that my students take, they are taking classes in English.
I'll never forget one of the students that I was working with, one of our student workers, was going to go to France to study abroad. And so she was watching all the Disney movies with the French subtitles or the French over.
Yeah.
It was very funny. She was like, it's because I know the storyline, so it's making it easier so she can learn the language faster. At least.
Right. It's true. And it is, if you do have a little bit of experience in a language, it can be a really good immersion to be studying abroad in that area. Even if you feel like you're not fluent level in that language, you know, it can help to have a little bit. But I do have students who have absolutely no Swedish, who've studied abroad at Lund University, you know, absolutely no Korean, and they've studied abroad at South Korea, Korean universities. So it is very possible. It's doable.
And how far in advance should students start planning to try to study abroad?
So sooner the better. If it's something that's on your radar that you're thinking of doing, definitely, you know, meet with your ESS advisor, even in your first semester, second semester, to talk about it. We usually don't advise that you can't study abroad in your first semester, but we usually don't advise you study abroad in your first year or so. First summer is maybe a good first point that you could study abroad. And then usually sophomore and junior years are the best time to go. Although that also depends on the program as well. Often you want to finish your lower division coursework before you study abroad. It's kind of hard to get lower division requirements approved in study abroad programs. You're more likely to see upper division coursework in the like approved courses for these places and things like that, because they're kind of assuming juniors and seniors studying abroad. So since we kind of recommend doing it your sophomore, junior year, if you're planning it in your freshman year, you're already making good tracks to be able to fit that in.
And is there financial aid available or other scholarship aid available?
Yes. So the financial aid, if you're doing the UCEAP Berkeley programs, the financial aid that you have will transfer to your study abroad program. It does scale depending on, you know, if the program is more expensive, you might get a bit more aid. If it's less expensive, you might get less aid. But the specifics of that is something you can talk to. The study abroad advice office has financial aid counselors in it that can help walk you through, when you're looking at different programs, what the cost would be, how your financial aid would translate, and where, you know, if there's any extra costs, where those might happen.
And if they want to talk to somebody and study abroad, there's advising staff there that they can make appointments with?
Yeah. So you can look on their website with their study abroad officers. If you know what area you want to study abroad in, they have it listed underneath each advisor's information and their email addresses there. So you can reach out to them. A good first stop, though, actually, is their peer advisors, especially if you're not sure where you want to study abroad or what you want to do. They have peer advisors with hours on the website. You can chat with one of them to help narrow things down, and they can also help connect you with whatever staff advisor and study abroad would do the program that you're interested in applying to.
Excellent. And also make sure that I have all the links for the Berkeley Engineering Study Abroad page, the Study Abroad Opportunities page, and links to their peer advisors and things as well. I know a lot of times we have events that throughout the year that give the chance for panel questions or anything along those lines to talk about study abroad. Are you going to have those as well in our fall semester?
Yeah. So we haven't picked the exact date yet, but usually sometime in November, we have a study abroad info night or an info session where we have a panel, usually 4 or 5 students who've studied abroad in engineering in the past at different programs, different countries, who will talk through their experience, like the pros, the difficulties, things they wish they would have known, all that kind of stuff. And then we'll have someone from ESS give a presentation about the specifics of application. Study abroad office has an advisor who will come and talk about, you know, the specifics on their end. And then there's a Q&A session where you can ask questions of anybody, of ESS, study abroad, or the panelists about anything you want to know with study abroad. That's our kind of big thing in the fall. And then we also, study abroad office itself has info, like study abroad fairs every fall and every spring. And there's usually an info like tabling during that week. And so we always have a table there. So if you're looking around at different programs and you want to stop by and ask us a question, we'll have an advisor and possibly peer advisors there as well to help you out with the engineering side of study abroad.
And we've talked about it before on the podcast, but the best way to keep up with events and things that are coming on is to check your newsletter that comes out every Monday.
Yes.
Make sure that we have all those.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And there's usually an RSVP in there for the study abroad night, because we usually try to provide some sort of food sustenance or some other goodies as an incentive to show. So if you RSVP, you can come and get some snacks and learn some more about study abroad.
And is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you would like to add?
I think the big kind of underlying point for study abroad is to go talk to your ESS advisor. It usually helps if you have narrowed down kind of where you want to go, but the ESS advisor is going to be able to help walk you through. There's a lot of paperwork that has to be done. There's different steps at different time points. And like I said, each major has slightly different considerations in terms of when you want to go, what you might be able to take, how you would take that. And so your ESS advisor is going to be able to give you those details and that information. But if you want overview, we're going to have the links on there for the engineering website. There's a really great kind of step-by-step guide about how to approach study abroad on our website that you can use to just start your first explorations into possible study abroad options.
And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't say that study abroad is available for people who started as first year freshmen and as transfer students, right?
Yes, for sure. And so, yeah, for transfer students, we usually recommend going abroad in your, sometime in your senior year, your second year of transfer. The one thing, and this applies to both freshmen and transfer students, we usually don't advise studying abroad in your final semester at Berkeley, wherever that is, because it does take a bit of time for the grades to come back. When you're finished with study abroad. And so it could delay your graduation if you're studying abroad in your final semester. If you're okay with that, you know that going in, you know, that's a possibility, but we usually don't recommend, just so that we can make sure you graduate on time, you get your degree and have no problems there.
Well, thank you so much for coming and being here today and talking to us about the basic nuts and bolts of going study abroad.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And our second interview, Simon Gonzalez, hello and welcome to the podcast. I know our students have heard about you from the mentorship program podcast that we did a couple weeks ago. And so I'm happy to have you back to talk about your study abroad experience. So can you start off with reintroducing yourself?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Simon. I'm a fourth year mechanical engineering student at Berkeley, and I'm excited to be back and talk about my experience studying abroad.
Well, thank you again so much for coming back and joining us today. Study abroad is one of those things that I didn't take the opportunity to do when I was in college. So I'm always really excited to hear about folks that get to go and study and have that experience. So how did you learn about it?
Well, study abroad has always been in the back of my mind. I learned about it through social media, TikTok and whatnot. But I've always heard that it's not possible for engineering students because of the level of rigor in our curriculum. And so it's not something that is really talked about. But, one day my friends and I were hiking in Muir Woods, and one of my friends just threw out the possibility of us going together. And, we all liked that idea. They're all a year ahead of me. So it was kind of a cool way to end our college experience together. So that was kind of the beginning of us looking through the different types of programs that are offered, the requirements, and that's how we knew we wanted to go together.
So what was the first step that you had to take to start planning to actually go on a semester abroad?
So since we were going in a big group, it was about seven of us, we had to filter the programs through requirements that we were all able to fulfill. And that kind of made it easier because, we just set the minimum requirement, GPA requirement, which was 2.0, and we filtered through the different programs that were offered, the locations, and found the one that stuck out to us most, which was the Food, Art, and Society program in Rome, Italy.
And did you have any qualms or anything about going to a European country that maybe you hadn't been to before, or just a location that you hadn't been to before?
We were all pretty nervous. I've been to Mexico and I've been to Taiwan through the Globe Ambassadors program. So I had some experience traveling, but this was the first time I was going to a European country. They spoke a different language, and it was for 4 months. It was a full semester. So I was pretty nervous of, would I get homesick? Do I even have the financial resources to go? There was a lot of what ifs, but applying as a group really made me feel more comfortable, and having the resources here on campus to really develop a plan make the whole experience better.
And when you say that you applied as a group, you each still had to do your own individual like applications and everything. It's not, you just all got to go at the same time.
Yeah. We all individually submitted applications, figured out our financial situations and applied individually, but you know, we were all accepted together, and the plan was for us to go together and enjoy being abroad together.
So I'm curious about the financial aspect of it. That seems like it would be a worry for most folks trying to go. So what did you do to tackle those, the finance question?
Yeah, so finances was honestly one of my biggest fears while going abroad, because you know, I'm from LA, I'm from South Central, and you know, it's a poor community. So I was pretty worried, but I was able to receive financial aid, which covered you know, the program and some of the housing. I got a refund for housing because I opted out of program housing and got an Airbnb away from the center, just because I was able to get more of an Italian experience through that. But I received financial aid, and I also applied to scholarships, which was really big. One of them was the Hispanic Scholarship Fund, and the other was the Gilman Scholarship, which was really helpful for me because it's a scholarship geared towards students interning or studying abroad who might not participate otherwise due to financial reasons. So, you know, they want people to experience being abroad, even if you struggle financially. And they also provide other opportunities while abroad. One of them was a Brussels study tour, where they flew us out to Brussels, Belgium, and that's where the majority of the European Union institutions are. And we got to visit them and learn more about international relations, the European Union. And even after the program, they allow you to connect with a network of Gilman alumni and provide other resources. So that was one of my biggest, one of my most helpful resources while abroad financially. And I also have personal savings, and I also took a small loan out just so I could travel more and make the experience more memorable. So it was a lot that came together to support me financially.
That's awesome. I'm interested about the scholarships. I wouldn't have even thought to look for scholarships specifically for study abroad. How did you start investigating that? Or did someone tell you about it?
One of my friends told me about the Gilman Scholarship, and you know, they're one of the biggest study abroad scholarships that I know. So I applied to it, and I was able to receive it.
Yeah, did you have to like research them more, or did you just get word of mouth on a lot of them?
Most of the scholarships I applied to, I heard through friends or the study abroad office. I didn't have to do much research, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you do a quick Google search, you'll find a lot of scholarships or resources that are willing to help you financially for these experiences, especially like interning and like studying abroad, because they like helping people do that.
Oh, definitely. I think study abroad gives you just a different view on the world in general, to open up your eyes to different experiences and meeting new people and different ways of learning even, I'm sure.
Yeah, studying abroad was one of the things that I'd never thought I'd do, but I'm 100% glad I took advantage of, and I'd recommend to anyone. You know, it wasn't only helpful academically, but I feel like it developed some skills that you only get while traveling to a foreign country. So yeah, I just love studying abroad.
Did you get to go on a lot of trips then? Because I know you said you did the Belgium trip. Did you do other short trips around?
So I was mainly in Rome, Italy. That's where the program took place.
And I know there's nothing to do there.
Oh, Rome is honestly one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to. It's like an open air museum. You know, you see the Colosseum, walk across the street, and you're looking at an ancient Roman road. And then it's just crazy. But I was able to travel to neighboring countries. I traveled to 8 different countries total. So
it was, wow.
Yeah, it was Italy, France, Belgium, Germany, Spain, Egypt, Morocco, and Malta.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I wonderful memories in each country. I wouldn't have had it any other way. And that's honestly what makes me want to travel more. Being able to see the Great Pyramids, the Eiffel Tower, and being able to share that with my family, even if it's through a FaceTime call. It was very beautiful. A lot of memories and yeah.
And do you think one of the things that really made it more successful and enjoyable for you was that you went with your friends?
I do. I don't know what I would have done if I went alone. I might have still gone, but it would have been very different, because I would have had to make friends there or reach out to people prior to leaving to Italy. But since I went with a group of friends, we were able to plan things out like trips. They're trustworthy. They're my friends, so I felt comfortable traveling to different countries or even within Rome with them, going through all the academics, talking to them about classes. But even if I didn't go with friends, studying abroad, and the program I went to was a UCEAP program, and they have a lot of resources that are able to help you socially, academically, navigate around your study abroad country. So studying abroad with a group was more comfortable, but it would have been easily as comfortable if I went alone
That
because
makes
of
sense.
resources. Yeah.
Did you take engineering classes there that you were able to transfer back over, or did you?
I didn't. The program was food, art, and society, so it was more of a cultural
Okay.
experience and a cultural program, learning about Italy, history, etc. But I was able to fulfill the HSS requirement through one of the classes.
Nice.
So, I didn't go for nothing. I was able to still make some progress towards
Well, no
my.
matter what, you're not going for nothing.
So yeah, it wasn't an engineering program, but I still benefited from it academically, and that's kind of what I wanted from studying abroad. I didn't want to go to a different country and be stressed about, calculations and diagrams and engineering. So that's the route I took, but there are programs that, if you want to continue making progress towards your engineering degree, there are programs for that.
And I know you do get an extra semester if you take a semester abroad, so you aren't dinged in the like your times that you can be here.
Yeah, that's interesting, honestly, because I know for many people that'll push them away from studying abroad because you want to graduate as soon as possible, go to work or maybe grad school or whatever your future plans are. But it wasn't that big of a deal. It's just a semester that you're staying behind and you're able to make these wonderful memories and travel. And a lot of times you tell yourself, hey, like I could travel once I'm done with my degree, once I start working and make money, but sometimes that doesn't happen because you get caught up with work or something happens
Life.
in your life. Yeah, life happens. So I'm glad I took advantage of it and I wouldn't have had it any other way.
Do you have one particular moment that stands out as like you're at the best time there, or?
Yeah, it's impossible to choose, honestly. Like I said, Rome is incredible. You see, you have the Colosseum, you have the Vatican, you have everything there. So where I was studying abroad was very beautiful. I made a lot of memories, met a lot of people. Traveling is just a different experience. I never thought I'd see the Great Pyramids, but I was there. I never thought I'd see the Eiffel Tower, but I was there. And even, sometimes you're pulling all-nighters to catch your early flight, or you have these moments where you're tired, you're sleep deprived, you have an exam coming up. But even those memories, like once the program is done, they're all beautiful memories. Like you think back and it's just great.
That's awesome. I'm so excited that you had such a good time and that you have such good memories to like just take with you forever and that you got to share it with your family. That is pretty cool too.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments because you want your family to experience things with you. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to take family over there. Because of financial reasons, you know, tickets are expensive, but I was able to share, you know, quick FaceTime calls of what I'm doing. If I'm traveling to a different country, you know, I would FaceTime my mom, my siblings, my cousins. And yeah, everyone was just excited that I was traveling and, you know, taking advantage of it, even though it meant me staying an extra semester to finish my degree. You know, I initially, you know, I thought my, especially my mom would be not mad, but, you know, she
concerned
wouldn't
or
like the idea of studying abroad because I was away, foreign country. I was delaying my graduation, but she was one of the most supporting people that I had. Yeah. And I was able to bring souvenirs for my family as well, which is beautiful. They all liked it. I see them, you know, wearing their, I brought my little brother a jersey and I see him wearing it, taking it to school, telling me how people are complimenting him. And it's amazing.
Oh, that's fun. Is there anything else about your experience that you wanted to talk about that we haven't touched on yet?
I want to leave off with, if you're planning to study abroad but are worried about money, graduating late, being alone in a foreign country, you know, I say go for it. I never thought I'd have the chance to study outside of the US, but experiencing this has shown me otherwise. You know, there's so much outside of the US and everyone needs to experience it at least once in their life. It's not always going to be rainbows and sunshines. You're going to have difficult days, but they'll be over. You'll enjoy the experience and you'll make memories that'll stay with you for a lifetime.
Well, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, it was great. Hopefully, you know, I motivated some people to study abroad. If anyone wants to talk more about my experience or the process, I'm open to speaking to anyone about it. But yeah.
Are you okay with sharing your email?
Yeah. So my email is simongb10@berkeley.edu.
Well, thank you again so much for being here today. It sounds like you had just an awesome time. I can't even imagine. I always talk about if I go on a vacation, I'm like, I don't want to go for like a week where you just have to rush through and do everything. I want to go for like a long time. So I think that's so cool that you got to do that and actually be there and explore for 4 months.
Yes, I loved it. You know, being able to not just stay in Rome, being able to venture outside and enjoy things was amazing. But yeah, it was a pleasure being here. And thank you for speaking to me.
Thank you. And thank you again to Kendra and Simon for being on the podcast today. And thank you everyone for tuning in to the Not So Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. We'll be back next week with more information and resources for your time as a Berkeley Engineer. Thank you.